and share my screen with you all. And let's go into the presentation here. Okay, so I can move past the title slide. This is a screenshot of a slide that we looked at last time, the Jamboard activity. But I just wanted to kind of share back with the group our reflections on what some of the themes were that we saw as we, if you remember, reviewed some of that baseline survey data. So SAC members participated in a racial equity competency baseline survey last winter, or last fall, November, October, whatever that season is. Van Lena from our health assessment team put together some sort of visual slides of some of the highlighted results from that survey. And then we went through some activities where we reflected individually and then as a group on some of those results and thought, what does this leave me wondering? And, you know, what do I think this means for facts? So we were very focused on talking about those racial equity survey results. And some of the themes that came up, this is a really busy slide, so just, you don't have to still read it all. You have the link to the Jamboard if you want to kind of look back at what individually folks entered into the activity. But what the kind of high-level themes that we saw were just this conversation around training, around racial equity, identifying kind of shared definitions, maybe some version of including some of the training as you onboard the FAC, but also some ongoing learning and engagement as a group, and then really hearing about what public health is doing, what staff are doing around this work, and kind of having that communication go back and forth between FAC and public health, as well as the community. So there was some conversation around kind of meeting location and the ability for community to be a part of FAC meetings and FAC to also hear from the community in other ways, and so I think we'll revisit that later today. And then also some conversations sort of around what I would call sort of our internal policies or how we work together, so thinking about recruitment and retention of FAC members and how to sort of diversify based on what kind of, you know, what that means to this group, and also sort of what are the roles and responsibilities of FAC members, how often do we meet, what do these new changes to legislation mean for us as a body moving forward. And then we also spent some time after doing these activities looking at a draft decision tool. You see a screenshot here. We just did a little bit of walking through the tool and then hearing some sort of feedback and reflections on this. Again, we're going to circle back to this conversation later today. But I just wanted to remind you that we sort of looked at one possible way to sort of integrate some of these concepts around racial equity into how FAC makes decisions and then how FAC decides what and how to move forward on certain issues or topic areas that are brought to you as a committee. I'm going to stop there and see if there are anyone on FAC wants to contribute some ideas or just, you know, things that really rose to the top for you from February's meeting and share for the benefit of people who couldn't be there last month, or is there anything I missed or anything you want to kind of elevate for the group before we talk about what we're going to do next?
Haley, I'm not seeing any hands up, so I think we'll give it a couple more moments.
Okay. All right, so I think that kind of, maybe I did an okay job of capturing sort of the big ideas that came up. We are going to continue to revisit some of those big ideas moving forward. But first, we really wanted to take the opportunity to take a few steps back and think about what it is that brings each of us to this advisory body, what unique skill sets we bring, why we're here, and what, you know, what we think FAC should do as a group. I think if you remember, one of the questions was, in 3 to 5 years, what do you want the community to be saying about FAC, or what do you want FAC to be known for? And we kind of couched that in this racial equity conversation, but we realized maybe that's kind of like a step back, a bigger picture conversation to have as a group as we all get familiar with each other and kind of this process of working together, moving forward on some really critical public health issues. And so what we are going to do today are two different sort of thought activities, group learning, thinking activities. And I don't, does anyone know what this picture, what this statue is called? Is anyone familiar? Shout it out. The thinker. Yeah. I put this up here because I don't know if you can tell, but he's stretching his right elbow to his left knee. I think that the original sculptor, I think this, a version of this is like found all over the world. It was Rodin who did the original, and it's called the, it's supposed to represent philosophy, but basically the idea that we have to stretch to think. And so I'm asking that you kind of stretch to think today beyond kind of, we're taking some time to think together as a group. We don't often give ourselves the time and space to just take a step back and really reflect on what it is we're doing and why we're here. We're just like so busy moving through our day. This is a volunteer activity for you all. So you all probably have things you're doing leading up to 5:30. You have personal things happening in your life. So we really wanted to set aside some time to do some of this foundational thinking for this group to help us move forward. So our objective for today, for this next section of our agenda, I should say, are to, let me just move your faces so I can read my objectives. Continue building kind of the shared awareness and member connection towards mobilizing FAC for those community roles and responsibilities that you've outlined in your bylaws, right? Create some general excitement, hopefully, and interest and participation in these meetings and meeting activities. And then all of the conversation that we'll have starting with last month and moving forward are really going to help to inform sort of a framework or work plan for the next couple of years. So how do we, what goals do we have for FAC, and how are we going to operationalize those goals and objectives? So all of this kind of thinking that we're about to do today will help inform that kind of framework moving forward. Andrea, do you want to add any, is there any context that you want to?
Just that, yeah, that I'm excited for this group as FAC members to really explore and think about your what and your why. It should look different and unique for each of you in this space, in this time, in your roles professionally and personally, and based on your experiences. Just something to ground yourself in is there's no wrong answer, but the more authentic you can be of like, Why did I sign up for this? Why not the person to the left or the right of me that's just as qualified? Think along those lines. Why me? Why now? Why here? And that, I think, is going to really allow us to connect this group and leverage its power towards improving community health. So that's the one thing I would offer as the context as we move into this thought-based exercise that Haley's going to describe.
So key, there are no wrong answers, right? We all bring our own individual reasons we're here and ideas about how this group can move forward. So again, stretch your body, stretch your brain. So we're gonna start with an activity called 1-2-4, which is a really simple way of saying we're gonna think as an individual, then we're gonna think in pairs, then we're gonna think in groups of four, and then we're gonna report out to our group. We're going to start with silent self-reflection for 5 minutes. I'll describe what you're reflecting on in a second. Then Mallory is going to send us all to breakout rooms smoothly with no issues, and you're going to be with a pair, someone else, but that will include public health staff or another FAC member. So LT members, you can engage with the conversation too. So we'll come back, and then Mallory is going to resend us back out to groups of four, where you can build on the ideas you talked about in pairs. And then we'll come back to a large group and sort of share out what we talked about in our foursome. In a second, I'm going to add a link to the Jamboard, which is where you're going to start your individual reflection. I'll put that into the chat. Before I do, I'm just going to do a re-demo. So in case you forgot from last month, or if you weren't here last month, how to use Jamboard. So let me go ahead and pull it up. At the top here, you can navigate through the Jamboard slides. So for the purposes of this first activity, we're looking at slide one. Why is being a fact member important to you? And slide two, how do you define the role of fact? When you're about to have a few minutes of self-reflection, you can start jotting your ideas down on sticky notes. To do that, you go to this left-hand toolbar, click the sticky note, type my thought, click save, and it pops up, and you can keep adding, or you can cancel out and move this around, make it bigger or smaller. Okay, so that's how you use Jamboard. I'll insert the link in the chat, and this is what I'm asking you to think. Why is being a member of FAC important to you? There's no wrong answers. If you want another way to think about it, you could fill in the blank, I am here because. You're probably going to have more than one thing, more than one reason. I hope you do. So feel free to add as many thoughts that come to mind. When you're done with that, move over to slide two and reflect on the other question. How do you define the role of FAC? So another way to think about it, FAC exists too. Fill in the blank. Okay? No wrong answers. I'm going to set you loose in for 5 minutes of self-reflection. I'll give you a heads up when you got a minute left, and then we'll come back and move into groups of two. Okay, let me get into chat here. Here's the link to the Jamboard. If Jamboard is not your jam, you can enter comments into the Zoom chat, and I'll transfer them onto sticky notes for you. Okay, so that's always an option. Any questions?
So Haley, you want us to start out with filling in the Jamboard with our own thoughts first?
Yep. Okay. Yes, correct. Any other questions or clarifications? Okay, I'm going to set the timer now. I haven't figured out how to do the music like Vanlina did last time, so I apologize. This is going to be silent reflection time, but I'll give you a heads up when you've got a minute left. All right? Okay, Jamboard away.
For folks who have completed slide one, don't forget about slide two. Looks like some folks have moved on.
I'm going to give about 2 more minutes, or about a little more than 5, because I saw a lot of activity on slide 1. So, if you haven't moved to slide 2, feel free to do so, and I'll bring us back in 2 minutes. Okay, I think the active sticking has stopped. So thank you for that kind of individual time. It's really important to gather and collect your own thoughts before, if you're an introvert, before throwing you into talking to someone else. So that's the goal there, to sort of start thinking about these prompts. What we'll do next is Mallory's going to break us out into Zoom breakout rooms. So I think you'll have to click join room when she does this in a moment. And you're going to be in a pair with someone else on the Zoom call. And what I want you to do is talk about your responses, what came up for you. If something new, if you've come up with a new idea, add it to the Jamboard. If you see something that you like on the Jamboard that someone else wrote or that you reflect on and like, go ahead and star it if you want. But you'll have 5 minutes to sort of debrief in a pair. Mallory is going to send, you'll get like this screen across the, or banner across the top of your screen when you have 1 minute left before we kind of close your breakout room and bring you back to the big group. Any questions about the breakout room? Okay, everyone, cross your fingers. Mallory, do your magic. Is it Remy? Do you see a little something that says join breakout room on your screen? You know what? It's okay. I'm going to move. I'm moving Michelle to Dr. Melnick's room. And Remy, if you can find your unmute button, I will be your partner. Actually, I wonder if I can. Let me see if this works. There we go. Can you hear me?
Breakout room. There it is. I was in the wrong screen.
It's okay.
I was in the other one.
It's okay. I moved your partner, so you're good. I'm going to be your partner. I think Jeff's probably coming, hopping back on later. Mallory, was he in a room? I think he was with Dr. Melnick, so perfect. Okay, we're good. Okay, Remy, share with me how that activity, but what brings you to FAC?
I like representing my society. And I really think I love public health, and I think as a group, I think my society needs to be more aware of public health and get more involved with it.
Okay, what's your kind of hat you're wearing? Who are you representing when you're?
Oh, dental.
Dental, right? Okay. And so, what kind of unique views do you bring to FAC, or what's kind of the unique contribution that?
Well, the dental side of it, I work at the jail, I work at the free clinic, so I've got experience as far as public health, so that's what I bring to the table.
Okay.
So what the needs are out there in society.
Yeah. And what do you feel like the role of FAC should be? How long have you been on FAC?
Oh, God, 6 years now, I think.
Oh, okay. So you're here pre-pandemic, too.
Yeah.
You remember what it used to be like for you.
Not computer literate, but I've been here a while.
Okay. So kind of what have you observed about FAC over the last 6 years, and where do you kind of hope to see it move to?
I like the route it's taking now. It's getting more involved with the community by taking opinions of what's out there, who our partners are, getting involved and really reading the tone that's out there, instead of, everybody just kind of bringing their own personal opinions to the table, mm-hmm. sort of thing. We kind of hash it out at the beginning, but now it's more of a joint collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember kind of pre-COVID, did FAC work on policy issues or communications with the Board of Health? You had a different role before 2021, I guess, but kind of what is your...
I'm trying to think if was any major decisions we had to make back then. COVID was a big one. No, usually it was advising this, that, or the other thing. It was pretty simple and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten more complex, and I think COVID kind of woke everybody up to that. So, the respirator thing was a big one. I'm glad we made that decision before COVID hit.
Are you talking about the ethics process?
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was really a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else major before that. So.
Okay. And what do you think moving forward, kind of what are the big issues that you see back?
I think getting a lot more feedback from the community helps a lot. Getting a better representation on the board helps too. I think what else we could improve on. So listening is the big part.
Listening to the community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I worked with the health department on our health assessment team, but I'm new to, and this policy analyst role is new to the department. We haven't had that before. So kind of, I'm interested in being this liaison to FAC and making sure that, you know, we're staffing FAC needs appropriately and understanding what data and information that FAC will need to help make some of those decisions or address, you know, issues in the community that are brought to you and bring and elevate kind of the community's voice at Board of Health. So I'm excited for that. Okay, Mallory's going to bring everyone back. And then, Remy, next time when we break out into groups of four, now that you're on the correct screen, you'll just click join your room, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, what I did, I opened up another window and went that route, and then I was lost.
I know, it's tricky. You always got to go back to that Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, thanks, Mallory. Oh, we have 45 seconds. I see. So, anything else? Anything else? But oh, it takes 60 seconds. People are filtering back in. I think they'll close themselves in a few 25 seconds.
That alarm is a little.
Did you hear that?
My morning alarm.
I know, it's triggering. Sorry.
It is. The rude awakening.
Okay, welcome back. I think that did that go okay? Did everyone have at least one person to talk to in their room?
I was alone for about a minute.
I know. I sent Michelle to you when we realized that happened. Sorry.
I was depressed for a minute, but then Michelle showed up, so it was good.
Thanks, Chief Moore and Sia. Okay, so now what we're going to do next is broaden a little bit, hear from a few others. So actually, Mallory, so we need to modify based on our numbers. We don't equal groups of four, but let's do a little bit bigger, Mallory. So can we do groups of five instead of three? Okay, so again, Mallory's going to send us back out, so share some of the things that you initially brainstormed, something new or different that came up when you were just in your pairs, and then as a group, decide on one or two things you want to share out to a larger group, okay? So Mallory's going to send us back. I think we've got this breakout room thing down now. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Shona, did you get a pop up for a room? Oh, there she goes. Jeff must be making dinner.
Yes. Sorry, I haven't really been saying a lot. I just have been shaking my head.
It's working. People are in rooms. I am pleased.
Thank you for moving people too, because I was like starting to do it and then was panicking. I wasn't sure if I was doing it right.
I didn't realize I could see. I like when I was talking to Remy, I moved my window, so I have it too because I'm a host, I guess. Which I still don't understand how that happened, but fine.
Worked out well.
Maybe it's because you added me as alternate and I logged on before Alan?
That's probably why. That probably is why.
I think we're going to go a little bit quicker than the agenda.
maybe when everyone comes back as a group, it'll be more like last time.
I was surprised that no one wanted to add comments from last meeting, but that's fine. Still getting warmed up and logging in, so. Okay, who did you say was not feeling well?
Jeff.
Jeff, okay, and he left. Anyway, he had to go to the studio. Oh, no.
No, this, yeah, our Jeff.
Our Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay. I thought you meant...
No, he had a council meeting or something.
Okay. Oh, what a Jeff. Sorry, Jeff, if you hear us. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. Welcome back. Okay. I hope that was great. You got to talk to a few different people, or maybe your pair again and some more folks. So what I want to do now is have the opportunity. So we're kind of building up on these ideas to our larger group so we can hear kind of what was discussed across.
We needed more time in the in that group.
Oh, good. I love hearing that. I will note that. I can never tell. Sometimes y'all are pretty quiet in the big group. And Mallory and I were out here all alone, so we weren't sure.
We got two out of the five were able to put in their ideas, so we needed more time for that group also.
Okay, great. I'm happy to hear that. What we're going to do now is do kind of a little bit of a report out, so share a few things, and if it's something that you didn't get to share in your small group or you want to add on, that is kind of the opportunity to have that bigger group reflection and report out. I'll be taking notes in our Jamboard slide 3, so you can be back on the Zoom screen so you can see faces if you'd like. And we're going to continue to have this conversation, so don't worry if you didn't quite get to talk in your small group. But I'm curious to hear, like, from your small group, what were some of the things that really felt similar or different in terms of what brings you here and what do we see staff doing? Do I have a volunteer who might kick us off?
I don't mind starting. We decided who would be reporting out after we were finished, and I was wishing we'd done that in the beginning because I really would have taken notes. But what I really enjoyed about the group that I was in is that everyone came with, I felt, was a really pretty well-baked feeling about their own reasons for being involved in this work, and they ranged from being very well experienced and having good lived experience working with specific types of communities. And one of the things that I mentioned is that I think every community has somewhat of its own personality, and the individuals in that community, of course, each have their own personality as well. But there are some people that were in this group that I was with that talked about how they are particularly in tune with certain community groups and relate very well to them. And I think they're highly effective. I know they are. And then but also it was brought up that the seniors in the community are sometimes are maybe a bit left out, and that there's a lot more work that could be probably done to bring services that are available for seniors to them, or help invite them into areas where they can have be enriched by what's available, but they're just not having access to it right now. Those were some of the key things. So I know that the other folks that were in the group, if any of you are hearing something glaring missing, please feel free to speak up now.
Anyone from Marla's group want to add or expand or say something totally different?
This is Roxanne. I was in the group mostly listening. And Michelle had to step away for a second, but one of the things Michelle was also talking about is as far as, you know, we may represent one thing on FAC, but there's an intersectionality. And so she also talked about, when we were talking a little bit about the age, you know, the our elderly population, she also talked about her work with gerontology, and as well as her, the intersectionality with her Latinx community. So it that was very interesting too. So we don't just represent one thing. We represent a variety of different things. And I think Marla said that very, very well with regard to that experience levels, that level, those experience levels that we bring.
Anything in your group about kind of the role of FAC, or what you envision FAC is here to do, that you want to share out? Or it's okay if you didn't get that far. Sounds like we needed more time.
Are you still talking to Marla? Okay. All right, Marla.
That's okay. Were you wanting to go on to the next group, or did you want to hear something more about that from the group that we just...
Yeah, recorded? I was just curious if there was anything kind of on the second topic around what FAC's here to do that your group wanted to share out.
I would just say that we just talked about the fact that FAC is a really important liaison in a way between Board of Health in the community, and works really hard to, I think, bring the community and the Board of Health together in ways that each can understand the needs of the other, if you will, so that there can be some, and these weren't the words in the group, but I'm kind of paraphrasing, that will enhance the opportunity for the principles that we want to extend to the community can actually be realized. There's a lot of distance sometimes between the Board of Health and the individual who's needing services of public health. And I think that's where the public health team is particularly essential. But FAC also has an opportunity, even more now than ever, to help. I see us in some ways as ambassador of those principles.
Okay, wonderful, Marla. Does another group want to share a few thoughts?
I can share. We kind of talked about the same thing about FAC being this conduit between the community and the Board of Health. And somebody commented about those board meetings kind of are formal, and if you want to talk, you have to sign up to testify or provide public comment, and that can be intimidating to people, and how this group can be that liaison. Like, we can talk to community members and then share that information back. And there was also consensus in our group that we really wanted to create an environment that is not political, because that's better.
Thanks, Peggy. Anyone from Peggy's group want to add or elaborate? Okay, I think we had two other groups. Anyone want to share?
I can go ahead and, I guess, try to talk for my group, and others can fill in, I hope. Some of the reasons is, why we're here, to influence and support the community as a whole. And when I say community as a whole, to be the whole community, meaning the people that don't have the voice in the community. So some folks that don't have the voice that can be heard right now. And then another was that I liked was to bring lived experiences to the group as well. In terms of the second one of why the FAC exists, one of them was, again, expanding on the aging population, was that there's significant needs of the elderly. They're not really thought of as much as the younger community when it comes to public health. There's a lot of adults living alone that need that support that they just don't get. So FAC's there to help support those folks. And then that one really kind of almost goes back to why that individual was here as well, is to help be that voice of the elderly in the community. And then the other big one was just to connect the community with Clark County Public Health and Clark County Public Health and the County Board of Health. That's what I remember. Anything else from anyone else in the group?
Okay, sounds like you covered it, Tyler. Thank you. Okay, our fourth and final group. Is there someone that?
So, Remy nominated me to try to capture and synthesize the thoughts. And what I heard reflected back was like a look back on where FAC has been and the magnitude of everything that has happened, I think, in community and then within the public health discipline as a function of COVID, and the reflection on how FAC is continuing to evolve and really grow into a role where this group is centering and really reflecting on the community experience, right, Remy, if I'm capturing the essence of what you said correctly, right, and that there was a historical time that the folks that were in seats on this call were leveraging their professional or personal lived experience and expertise, but it was a little bit more isolated than it is now, and that there's more of this trend towards the collective, and that feels like it's generating momentum and engagement and interest. And that's what I think I heard you say, Heather. And so how that functions in the two questions is like why you're here, right? You're bringing expertise, and there's an interest in dialoguing with your peers. And then what's the role? There's this shift towards true community-centered engagement and reflecting on what the experience of the community is relative to then what FACT can do to facilitate conditions and engagement that promote well-being.
Anyone else from Andrea and Ronnie's group want to add? Or okay, and now just kind of stepping back from what we've heard across all these groups, sounds like to me there's definitely a lot of threads throughout around bringing our own personal identities with experience, engagement, and connection with our communities that are intersectional. And also being a voice to represent the community at decision-making bodies such as Board of Health. Any other things that folks want to add in terms of why are you here? What's back here for?
Okay. I would add only that being a voice, I think, is really essential part of what we do, but being a listening ear. Someone else said that, and I thought that was really important because all of us have many contacts in the community, including family members, friends, and coworkers, people that we play cards with, whatever it is. And we can be good listeners and pick up on things that are going on in the community that people are concerned about or don't know about, and bring that back to this group. And I think that's one of the important functions that we serve.
Great. Okay, thank you for that reflection. Now we're gonna kind of totally flip this all on its head and do a little bit of an activity that might feel out of the normal for you in terms of what we're asking you to do. So let me just share my screen again really quick. We will move back to Jamboard in a second. Let me first share my slide deck here. Okay, so this next activity is meant to make us brainstorm in a way that has us envision the worst possible outcome. So some project people call this a pre-mortem, where before you start a project or a process, you think like, okay, what is every possible thing that could go wrong? This is not meant to be doomsday, but how could we possibly mess this up so that we can then plan for how to not ensure that doesn't happen. And so the goal for this next activity is to think about, okay, based on what we all just kind of brainstormed individually in pairs and small groups and as a big group about what we see as FACT's role and what we kind of bring as our own individual skill set and interest in being a part of this group. Think about what must we not do to make progress on our purpose? What would really ensure that we might achieve the worst result imaginable with respect to what you feel FACT is here to do? So I want you to just kind of step back and think like, okay, we just articulated a vision for what we think FACT can do, how we think we can contribute as individuals to that mission. What would we be doing that would be counter to those goals? So this is kind of not how we typically think. Usually we think of visioning and think of all the good things that we're going to do, but this kind of blows it up because it allows us to get a little creative and then think about how we might address some of those on the flip and think about how we might implement really great practices that are gonna help us achieve our goal. So we're gonna do this brainstorm as a big group first. Again, there's no kind of wrong idea, you can shout things out and or enter into chat. And I'm going to start I'm going to stop sharing the screen and reshare our Jamboard. And I'm going to take notes on what folks are saying. I'll have the screen up. And then we're going to break into groups of five again and say, okay, based on all these possible things that we could, we don't want to do, or we must not do to make progress on our purpose, what are some of the things that we might actually be doing now? We have to be brutally honest, right? And then what can we do to make sure that as we move forward, we don't do those things, okay? How can we plan or adjust or adapt to make sure that we are working towards the best possible outcome, right? So think about that for a second. Let me know if you have any questions. You might feel a little uncomfortable at first, but the goal is to really kind of blow it up and think about this prompt. So let me go ahead and share back to the Jamboard. Make my slide a little bit bigger here. I'm going to go to slide 4. Okay, so this is this red box. This is what we're, as a big group, going to reflect on now. What must we not do to make progress on our purpose? In other words, list all we can do to make sure that we achieve the worst result imaginable. Does anyone want to kick us off? I'm going to my chat.
I think that we should definitely try to our darndest to keep politics out of whatever we're doing.
Okay, so I'm going to flip it, Paul, and say we would introduce politics into our conversation. That'd be the worst result.
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, politics follows us, but we have to try to do our darndest to keep it out.
Okay. And I see some people adding directly into Jamboard. Please do that too. Feel free to verbal, or if you still have Jamboard open and you want to do that kind of individual type in, feel free to do that, or you can use chat. Other thoughts. I see bring individual agendas. I see ignore the voices or needs of marginalized communities. I see spread misinformation, which might go along with this next one. Don't use TikTok. I see eliminate facts. Remain silent when we should speak out. Disengage. Fight at every meeting. What other things should we not do?
I'm having trouble figuring out how to type into what should I do?
The Jamboard? Can you, yeah. Do you see how to get to Zoom chat? Or you can just
okay.
Share verbally if you'd like.
Do that.
And I can add it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this for just a few more minutes. So, again, you can type into Jamboard directly. You can type into Zoom chat. I think that was Amy. Or feel free to just unmute yourself and shout it out, and I'll add it to the Jamboard.
Be complacent.
Be complacent.
I'm not able to use the Jamboard either with my phone the way it's working right now, but what I would say is what we must not do is discount opinions that we don't agree with.
Or discount science.
Discount to science. Okay.
Dr. Fauci.
I heard he retired.
Yes.
Put out contradictory information.
Okay. Ignore communities most impacted by health inequities. I'm just kind of reading what I'm seeing, and hopefully you see on my shared screen. Ignore discussing race because it's become so politicized. Center my comfort. I'm going to start making some room for some of these. Let me move smaller, and apologies if you are on a phone.
Having personal agendas.
Have personal agendas, okay.
Yeah.
I see that one up here. Great. Thank you, Andrea. I think that's you moving things around, too. Okay. Any other? Must not do. Okay. You can continue to add to that red prompt, but what we're going to do next is Mallory's going to again break us out into smaller groups. I'll drop the jam, or the Jamboard link is still in your Zoom chat, so if you happen to have closed that window, don't worry, try to reopen it, or at least have one person in your small group reopen it, because what we're going to do next is look through this list of all the things we're trying not to do and say, this orange box right here, is there anything that we are currently doing on these sticky notes that in any way, shape, or form resembles these items? And you are supposed to be brutally honest, and we are not blaming anyone, but is there anything in these sticky notes that we're doing right now as a group, okay? That's okay. We're going to let it go. Then, after you do that as a small group, then say, okay, we're going to brainstorm what first steps will help us stop what we know will create some of these undesirable results. In other words, you know, what can we be doing to address these issues? What are some practices we might implement as a FAC body, okay? So, again, Mallory is going to send us back out into groups of five. Based on the last activity, I'm going to give you more time than I think I had initially planned, and I'm just checking here. I'm going to give us 15 minutes because there's a lot to unpack here. And we'll give you a kind of a 5-minute heads up of when we're going to come back to the room, and then we're going to kind of share as a group some ideas that we have around that green box. So what are some steps we can take? These undesirable results of which we just brainstormed many. Okay? So you should have in the Jamboard those two prompts. Are there any questions about what we're about to do next? Okay. Hearing none, Mallory is going to send us back out. And I think you'll probably have some different books, different faces in your room this next round. Thank you.
Sorry, I got booted out of got booted out of Zoom, so I'm coming back.
No worries. Does it reinvite you to the? Hi, it's nice to meet you. Actually, Shana, I've heard your name so many times.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you able to rejoin the room, or do we need to reset?
I got booted out of Zoom before we were assigned.
I can assign you right now.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Mallory, we're done at 7:05 with this. So maybe 6:50, send a like 3-minute reminder.
Okay.
And at 6:55 and then have 10 minutes to reflect and wrap up.
Sure, yeah.
What did I just say? 6:50, we got that.
Thank you.
guys, we've got all of room one back. Awesome. Okay, welcome back. And thank you for engaging in that kind of different way to think about planning and visioning and thinking about goals for a group. I'm hoping, we've got about 10 minutes left for this kind of agenda item, and so I was hoping that folks could share, either from your group or individually, one thing that you thought of that, you know, might help us stop what we know will create undesirable results in the back body. So I'm going to take some notes, but just one thing that you might have talked about in your group. Or I didn't bring up in group, but want to share with the big group. Let's kick us off.
Well, and I'm going to reference some things that Dr. Melnick said about the importance of establishing relationships. That really resonated with me because one of the things that I had offered up was that one of the things we need to not do is be afraid. And it's much easier to not be afraid if you have created some relationships with the folks that you're trying to work with, influence, whatever, fill in the blank. So I thought that was really powerful, the relationship piece.
Thank you.
We put all our stuff in the lower left hand of the, our stickies are down there, so.
Yeah, okay, yeah, the jam board got a little full, which is awesome.
Hey, yeah. I was taking notes for the group, so I'll put all of our notes into Jamboard so that it's, they had a lot of really, really good ideas. One of the things that I think came out of it is really we need to develop a process to really engage productively with our community. So, you know, not necessarily open it up sort of a free-for-all for everyone to come and voice their opinions, but really how do we develop a process to really engage thoughtfully and productively with our community so we truly get a good understanding of what our community's needs are.
Roxanne, in your group, were there any ideas for how to do that?
I think the Commission on Aging, Amy had talked a little bit about what their group has done, but we didn't really get to delve into that in any more detail. Amy, you might have something to share.
The group is updating the aging readiness plan, which was developed 10 years ago, and taking the plan and asking for comments about it out of the virtual world and into locations. Like last week, it was at the Battleground City Council meeting, okay. And there were 12 community members who showed up.
Okay, so kind of going out into the community. Shauna, were you gonna?
Yeah, we had a similar conversation about how to, because one of my things that I noticed is that some communities are just not familiar with government entities and the different departments that you can interact with and be a part of decision making, like for instance with the city urban planning, and there's mm-hmm. tons of like when areas within the city are being redeveloped that you can sit on a committee and voice, you know, on behalf of your community. And so reaching out to the culturally specific entities, organizations, like some of the legacy organizations like LULAC and NAACP, and illuminating what FACT actually is and what it does. And then I think that education piece is extremely important for people to be interested in wanting to engage or participate.
Great. Love that. Other thoughts? Our first step. Gotta have one more.
So the group I was on talked about the lack of diversity and possible strategies to improve the diversity of the FACT and diverse ideas and opinions. And we talked about possibly collaborating with groups like LULAC and NAACP and do more outreach to groups that actually nominate FACT members, know, FAC, obviously, we get people from Peace Health, you know, reps from the cities, the restaurant industry, you know, septic installers, designers, a veterinarian, a dentist. So, yeah, doing outreach to as many groups as we can on what FAC does and why FAC is here.
Great. That's actually, Jeff, thank you. That's going to be a good transition. I know there's a lot more to continue to talk about and digest, and the conversation we had last night relates directly to what we're talking about right now and what we'll continue to talk about as FAC. But I do want to talk to kind of transition in our last 5 minutes to bring it back to the committee conversation, and just, I believe there's a nomination committee, but so I want to turn it over to Andrea, who is going to talk a little bit about some of these immediate next steps.
Yes, and so as it relates to some of the themes and our opportunities for this group to achieve our goals and some of the ideas that have been surfaced through these exercises, and thank you for your participation. I know at the end of the day, right, and having some of these reflective dialogues is, it's a lot. However, so we're going to have an opportunity to really make our committee structures more robust. So when a committee opportunity becomes available, we really want this group to think about it relative to the things that you're interested in, that you're passionate about, or an area where you want to learn more. I think it's an opportunity, and these committees can be an opportunity for professional growth and for leaning into a space where you want to be a part of deepening this group's, you know, work plan and kind of, for lack of a better term, roadmap towards excellence. So right now we are wanted to get this group's thoughts. Let me pull up this document on combining our committee. I lost my document. We were going to combine the community, the recruitment committee with the nominations committee, right? Because they were separate before. So that's a committee, there's the budget committee, and there's the bylaw committee right now, correct? Mm-hmm. So those are the three. So we can put that out in the meeting minutes. But if you have an interest, right, and you're like, yeah, I'm looking at our group and we absolutely need to diversify as much as possible, so we're bringing as many experiences and perspectives from the community as we can, then, you know, that recruitment and nominations committee would be a perfect fit. If you're thinking, well, I either am like an absolute numbers whiz or I know nothing about budgets, then the budget committee would be awesome for you, right? Use your talents, your gifts, and lean into your edge where you may know nothing and could stand to benefit, right? Because I think that there's always a different way that we can think about framing our approach to work, where either being a beginner on your learning journey or an expert can all be valuable, right? So that's what I want this group to be thinking about when you're considering, is the time right for me to be on a committee, right? Also, when you're prioritizing your work schedule, your lived experience, getting rest, and all of those things. So we don't take it personally if you can't join. However, if you're interested, that's how we want to work on kind of structuring this group's charter, governing principles, and committee work, right? We don't want to have committees just for the sake of committees. We want you to be effective, efficient, and ideally productive, knowing that this is you're donating your time to be here. So did I cover everything, Haley, or did I miss anything?
Does anyone from exec committee want to add?
No.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Thank you for your time. I'm going to pass it back to Michelle, who's leading us through our agenda, and we'll see you next time.
All right, looks like we just finished our racial equity update. So do we want to, are we doing the septic now, Alan?
Oh, the septic is off the table. So that program, and I can go into that, but I was hoping that we could talk about, and then FAC can talk about an issue that's come up around the syringe services.
Yeah, let's do syringe services. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. At the last Board of Health meeting, the syringe, or harm reduction, specifically the syringe services, part of the harm reduction center came up. And you can go ahead and listen to the Board of Health meeting. But and I heard today, we heard today that the Board of Health wants us to have the syringe services program, which is part of our harm reduction center, on their agenda for the April 26th Board of Health meeting. And some of the board members, the Board of Health members, have, like I mentioned, expressed concerns about syringe services at the last meeting, and they expressed these concerns to the county manager as well. So we're intending to put this on our Board of Health agenda for the April 26th meeting. I'd point out that FAC meets the night before. We're also hoping, we're going to set up one-to-one meetings with the counselors, with the Board of Health members, on April 3rd to meet with them to find out more about what their individual concerns are. But given FAC's role as advisory to the Board of Health, including on policy, we would like a brief discussion with FAC tonight to see if interested, whether FAC could provide advice to the Board of Health. And given the short timeline, and I point out, you know, Andrea's expressed concerns, and I agree with her about moving urgently, we're thinking about a potential process between now and the April 26th Board of Health meeting that might work. So this might be an ad hoc, and this is what we're interested in having you discuss. This might be an ad hoc opportunity for FAC executive committee members and other interested FAC members to meet offline between now and then, while the larger FAC group considers the decision-making tool that we presented earlier. And this may be an opportunity to use the decision-making tool in terms of it providing advice to the Board of Health. The next 2 weeks, we'll be getting some data together to inform the discussion, some data together on syringe services and their effectiveness and safety to inform the discussion. But we're wondering whether this is an opportunity for FAC, however you organize it, to use that decision-making tool in terms of putting your thoughts together and advice together to inform the Board of Health at their April 26th meeting. Did I leave anything out, Roxanne, Andrea, Jeff, in terms of framing that? And I'm happy to answer any questions that folks have.
I have a question. In the spirit of stories from data, in addition to providing data, is it possible to bring to the Board of Health some stories of people who have been beneficiaries of a good needle exchange program or whatever the design is, so that there can be a human face on the discussion, not an individual, of course, but somebody's lived experience? Is that possible?
I think that's possible. I think we have a short time crunch to identify somebody. One of the questions that have come up is whether, you know, people are more likely to use drugs, you know, for example, opioids, if they have a syringe exchange program available. That the data don't show that, but you know, we could. It certainly is possible. If we had time to identify folks. The other point is that the syringe services is an opportunity for people to get entry into treatment or get referred to treatment because we engage them there. I don't know whether we could get a story together on that, but it's an interesting idea. We could explore that. The other story is what happened in Indiana when they banned syringe exchange and they had a huge outbreak of HIV transmission through, and they had to reinstitute syringe exchange. But that's kind of a story, but it's also data. Anyway, I'm blabbering, but we might try to look into that.
Okay. Well, and just to be clear, I wasn't meaning to expose anybody's, you know, situation or name anybody or anything like that, but just some examples of just the one you gave of how it went badly when, you know, the situation occurred the way it did, and some examples of when someone was really benefited and their health improved. Just examples, not a necessarily a personal story.
Dr. Melnick, are we currently providing syringe services? Is that a service that public health is already providing now?
Yeah, so we've been doing it issue for, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So is there some talk about stopping that service? Is that what the discussion was? I didn't see
that. Yeah, and I see Councillor Marshall nodding her head. Yeah, so we've been providing syringe exchange as part of the Harm Reduction Center. We could talk more about that for at least a couple of decades. I think it was the late 90s. So, yeah, the talk at the Board of Health was about stopping it. So, yeah, that's the concern that we might be able to be helpful with.
If I could just, you know, from what I've heard as far as the concern expressed, there is an individual from the community that came forward and expressed concern about this and that the county should not be spending any money on this program. It came out of the blue, but one of the counselors picked up on that and then started asking questions as well. And so the concerns, as I understand them, there's a concern that this facilitates drug use, that there's been misuse of the needle exchanges, so it's not needle for needle, that people are just, you know, they're just sort of wantonly distributing these things, and whether or not county dollars have been expended on this program. And I do think that having anecdotal personal stories would be a very good thing that the Board of Health would better help them understand the problem and the benefits.
One of the things that feels like, Dr. Melnick, is that the syringe exchange is just a part of the harm reduction. And if you take that part of way, if that's really the gateway to entry for you to be able to get to see these people, you know, it's an opportunity for you to kind of monitor their health as well. I'm assuming that Narcan is a part of that harm reduction.
Yeah, we've been distributing naloxone in the harm reduction center at the syringe exchange for at least since around 2014. I think it's been at least nine years, if I remember. And we've been actually gathering data on reversals. So yes, we've been, that's part of the harm reduction center. Yes.
And real quickly, if any of you are in conversations, there is zero county dollars going to this program. There's never been county dollars going to this program.
How is it funded,
John? It's almost totally state dollars. There is one smaller Fed grant as well, but it's a federal and state partnership. There is zero local dollars going to it.
So then what is their problem? I'm sorry.
So
I have a poker face.
So if you listen to the Board of Health meeting, I'll just list out a number of things. One is a belief that providing syringe syringe exchange enables people to use drugs. And there's data that counteract each of these things. I agree with the story piece as well. There's belief that providing syringe exchange results in more syringes distributed in the parks, you know, thrown out there. The data actually in the literature show the opposite. But the belief is that it increases drug use and it increases disposal of needles unsafely in the community. And the other piece about the data that's not, besides the fact that that's not true, is that it actually prevents transmission of bloodborne pathogens, and by having that available, it does provide a place where we can refer people into treatment.
So it sounds like we have this great opportunity to provide some education to the community and the board around the benefits of the service, and that's kind of what we're looking to do, maybe?
That would be helpful in terms of, I'm going to let Councillor Marshall speak, put her on the spot as a member of the Board of Health, but I think getting, you know, the role of FAC is to provide advice on policy to the board, and I think you would be, could be effective in terms of doing so.
Right, I think that's exactly right, that this is an opportunity and that the Board of Health is in need of this level of education, and that there's at least a little bit of time for you to prepare. I do anticipate that this individual is likely to be at the next Board of Health meeting and raise the issue again, so the flames may be fanned a little bit more at the next Board of Health meeting.
And I think, if I understand correctly, that individual may have said that it was going to dump a bunch of needles on, bring some needles to the board meetings.
Oh, delightful.
So you're thinking we should get a group together who can kind of dig into the information and kind of provide a high-level synopsis of how the program is beneficial, that we're not using county dollars, and maybe throw in a few stories about how people have been helped.
So are we using that decision-making tool as well? Because I think if you do use it, you'll see that. Well, yes, all the above.
So what will be important for this group over time is there may be folks on this call that morally or ethically do not agree with Syringe Services Exchange, right? Moral, ethical belief systems are separate and apart from what data supports as having an outcome on a health status for a population. And so when we've been talking about, right, how politics and belief systems creep into our decision-making, how racism creeps in, this tool is designed to strip those things away. And it's important to recognize, okay, I feel this way because I was raised or I have a belief system that something is good or bad based on how I grew up, right? So we need to challenge ourselves in this space to use that tool to ensure that those biases don't compress this group's opportunities to advocate on behalf of programs, policies, behaviors, and things that are happening in the community that data supports in robust fashion that these things are either good, right, and improve health or can increase risk or harm to populations, right? So you either take a for or against position based on what the data supports.
Andrea, that's really a very good frame, and I think it would be important for the Board of Health to understand that frame in your decision-making and coming up with a recommendation. And it would be good for the Board of Health to apply that.
Long-term goal vision, right? But so often that space gets co-opted by political belief systems that ultimately can serve to harm members of our community that don't have that power position and that voice. Okay. Kids.
Yeah, we could be. You could be transparent about the use of that decision-making tool when you advise the Board of Health.
So, Alan, I also think that the reason we're bringing this tonight is because this is sort of an issue, an emerging issue that has just popped up. We are working through this process with FAC, the last meeting, this meeting, to have some of that dialogue and to work towards us being able to effectively use that tool that was introduced and that Haley shared earlier tonight. The challenge we have with it is that we're not actually ready as a full group yet to, I think, really engage and use that tool. So the idea would be, you know, would you want to have a group of folks, you know, that would volunteer to come together and use that tool with this issue and come up with some recommendations? Another option is you could, you know, ask the executive group to do that as well. If we have folks that are not going to be able to, you know, come together and have that discussion between now and the next Board of Health, which is in, you know, late April.
Or it could be a combination, right? FAC, exec, plus other volunteers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, so that really is the intent here tonight, is to not make a decision right now about what you want to do, but it's really more around, you know, this is the issue that's come before us. We have a tight timeline, unfortunately, on this, and so we could use this as an opportunity to really kind of test that tool out as well, if there's members that would be interested in doing that.
And they can certainly bring it back to FAC the night before, but, and then FAC could be ready to, you know, listen to that and actually come up with give the go-ahead or to represent FAC or, and maybe those members would be prepared to maybe even testify at the Board of Health meeting. And if FAC voted on it the night before, they'd have the blessing of full FAC on it as well.
Are there members here tonight who would be interested in working with Michelle and me on this? Anybody?
Anyone? And you know, put that in the chat too if you don't.
Dr. Garber is there, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, Dr. Garber is the chief medical officer, and you would be incredibly effective in this.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And if you don't want to, you know, speak in the larger group, go ahead and you can send a private chat over to Mallory and she can put you in the group with us and we'll reach out to you.
And again, to tie this back into the exercises we're engaging in, right, this group needs to be able to trust each other to have hard conversations about your belief systems, your experiences, what you understand, what you don't understand. And then ideally over time, this group will develop the trust necessary to quickly and effectively consume data and research and literature to make and advocate on behalf of decisions that we know really, truly benefit community health. And that's incredibly powerful. It takes time to kind of get comfortable with that and uncomfortable with things we learned about ourselves through all these processes. This is going to be, I would imagine, innumerable opportunities to build this collective muscle of this group moving forward.
And this is a topic that is very personal for many people, and because many of us are touched by this in our personal lives, so we do bring strong beliefs into these conversations, and I think this is an opportunity to use this tool and have this discussion to be able to basically look at this objective. I don't know if objectively is the right word to use, but to be able to get beyond that, the strong feelings that we have around this issue.
And being uncomfortable is growing. We're growing in that. So, and we all want to facilitate that trust in this group. So know that even if this isn't the conversation that you want to jump into, we're all growing together. So keep that in mind.
And that's a known, I think, acknowledging that this is difficult and people have personal experiences that make it more difficult is a good thing to acknowledge, because I think in part that may be something that the Board of Health, some members are experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I've had this in my family. So, I think there's very few families that are untouched by this issue.
Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Melnick. So we're going to move on. It's 7:24. We have 1 minute.
So we just before we move on, so we do have a group of three of you, Michelle, Peggy, and Dr. Garber. Great. Okay. Thank you.
If anyone else is interested, please reach out to Mallory.
Yeah, you can email me.
Haley, are you going to join our small group to help us look at that tool? And okay.
Thank you.
Mallory is our senior policy analyst, correct?
Haley. Mallory the rock star.
I mean, Haley. I'm sorry, Haley. Yes, Haley is our senior policy analyst. Sorry.
Okay, so the cadence of meetings, are we okay with the cadence of the meetings right now? Or we were moving that to one time a week where we, did we make a final decision on that?
One time a week?
I mean, sorry, one time a month. Yes, Alan, one time a week. It's a love fest. a one time a month, are we okay with that? Are we, can we start going there April with April? If everyone is in agreement, can we have a hand raise? And that way Mallory can, I say, let's start. Okay, so Mallory, can we get that going starting in April, one time a week?
One time a month, yes, I will do
sorry,
that.
Sorry, I'm tired. And our location of future meetings. Mallory.
We've got a couple of hands raised, Michelle.
Oh, Shauna?
Yeah, I was just raising my hand to say yes.
Okay.
A month.
Okay, a month. A month. Does anyone have any questions?
On our meeting agenda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, on our meeting agenda, set next meeting April the 25th, is that where we are now? I mean, are we going to be on the 25th?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that is the next meeting, yes.
Absolutely perfect for me.
Okay.
We will have a quick question.
Yeah.
If we're not okay with going to one time a month, or we're not able to do one time a month, should we find somebody to fill in on the opposite months, or should we just tell you that we are not going to be able to make it?
I would say keep in touch with us. I mean... Or, I mean, what do you think, Roxanne?
Well, I'm going to jump in here. Okay, I think you're officially all selected by the Board of Health. So you are the representative. So if you're unable to make it, you need to let Mallory know. And, you know, that could be an excused absence. But you can't, it's not really a kind of situation where you substitute.
And you will get the minutes from the previous meeting, so and then if you have any questions, you know, we can always have coffee. You can always have coffee and get some coffee and some information from your fellow board members or advisory council members. So looking at the location of our future meeting, Mallory, do you want to, I talked to Jasmine from the YWCA, she said that's a yes, we could do Bridgeview, or unless or we could do it public health first, whatever you want to do.
Are we planning to begin in person as of next month? Or is that a question that we're posing to everyone? I know when we had talked, we said June...
Okay, that's right, G. Okay, so then let's get Zoom, and then you and I will talk about getting community locations started.
Perfect.
And if anyone has any, you know, suggestions for community locations, please email. Let us know. We want to hear your feedback. We want everyone to be involved in this decision. We'd love to be everywhere anyone, you know, would like community. That's what we want to be. We want to be where the people are. So if there's not anything else.
I have one quick question.
Yes, Paul.
Quick thing to bring up. Dr. Melnick, and I have heard more about this, but maybe you have. There's some new cigarettes that are coming out on the market that are not only going to be colored, but they're going to be flavors for the kids, you know, and I just heard about this last night, and I don't know where it's coming in from, whether it's being imported or whether it's being brought up by somebody, but it's not like cigarettes in a package. It's like a decorative kind of a withdrawal or drawal type thing where the kids, it's kind of appealing. They're trying to make it appealing to the kids. Doctor, have you heard anything about that?
No, but Paul, if you could send me the information, we'll kind of look into it and get back to all of you.
This I just heard on TV last night, late night, so I didn't get all the details. I'll look into it and see what I can find out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Anything from anyone else? Okay.
Mallory just put a link in, but there's a quick survey in the chat. If you can fill it out just to quickly to share your feedback on tonight's meeting so we can plan effective meetings in the future. She'll also send it out over email. So thank you, everyone.
Okay, just open.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Go get something to eat. Put your pajamas on. Have a good evening.
Night, everyone.
Night. Night.